Good morning, everybody. If you'd like to take a seat, that would be absolutely wonderful. So, a very warm welcome to you all here at St. Andrew's, whether you're here in person or watching this online sometime during the week. You're very welcome. I know we have a few visitors and a few guests, and we have some special guests this morning from Ukraine. We've got Ada, Anastasia, Miriam, and Mark, all staying with Christina. So a warm welcome to you. And serving us this morning in our worship are Helen, who's we'll be preaching a little later, Dave's leading communion, got Debbie, Ryan, Susie in the band, and Derham. And on back, we've got Simon on sound, Jin and Josh on the computer, and Derek doing the video. So quite a team, as you can see, supporting us in our worship every week. So we have an exciting couple of weeks coming up. A few notices for you. First of all, the START course, exploring about our Christian faith, right back to basics. It's starting a couple of weeks' time, June 22nd. If this is for you, have a chat with Dave or sign up at the sheet at the back. Next week, exciting church picnic, and I think the weather's looking good. It's supposed to be a heat wave, isn't there, coming? So it's bound to rain. Peachfield Common, 12:30. Bring a picnic, bring a blanket or a chair. Yeah, that's a picnic. Shows what sort of picnic we normally have, the liquid variety. Vasil Savenko coming this Friday, 17th of June, 7:30, raising money for Terry English, who's got a school for Ukrainian refugees in the Czech Republic. Now, Ruth is selling tickets. Ruth, can you stand up? Look, she's got tickets. You need money, she'll give you a ticket. Next Friday, 7:30. And for all those who are new or would like to connect up and find out what's happening, please go on the website. You see that button, press it. It'll wipe your hard drive. No. It'll blow your mind. It'll link up to our church and you'll get the notices every week. So this week we're moving again through our series, Cultivating the Fruit of the Spirit, Growing in Christlikeness, Being Like Jesus. And we've looked at love and joy and peace. And this week, we're going to be looking at becoming a people of... Oh, you're good, aren't you? People of patience. That's right. And our God is patient. He's been here since before creation, watched our earth fermenting for 13 or so billion years. He is in no rush. His spirit hovers over us as a dove. So just for a few moments, let's just breathe in God's Spirit as we wait patiently for Him to move in our lives. And we share in these words from Psalm 130. Let's do it as a we, not I. We wait for the Lord. Our soul waits and we hope in His word. Our soul waits for the Lord more than one who watches for the morning. Yes, more than one who watches for the morning. So we're glad, mighty Saviour, to come into your presence this morning. We praise you, Lord God, and thank you that as the tests and trials of life come at us, you will give us the strength to make it through each day. We know that your timing is perfect, and so help us, Father God, to be present in the season you have placed us instead of hurrying life away. You reign on earth and in heaven. Alleluia, we come before you this morning in worship. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's sing, and as we sing, why don't our young people come forward? I know Deb is going to encourage you to use the instruments. So if all our young people would like to come forward and play something, bash something, wave something, that would be great too.
So we're all going to sing this song of praise together, and it is just a song which says, Alleluia, our Lord Almighty reigns. Now, there are some words in there that our young people might not understand. It says, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Well, it doesn't mean worthy is a lamb in the field. It means worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is Jesus. We often call Jesus the Lamb of God. And so we're saying how great and worthy he is. So, off we go. Would everyone like to stand? As we begin our service, let's just come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you like to take a seat? I was coming. have something for the children.
I think you young people might be interested in this next little bit. And you adults are going to have to practice the gift of patience. So, this is Pongo. You can probably guess why he's called Pongo. We won't go there. And Pongo's come to talk to you young people about the subject of patience. Is that right, Pongo? Yes, and he's done some homework this week. If you'd like to come a bit closer, that's it. Pongo would love to see you. He'd love to lick you with his big, warm, dry tongue. Yes, he would. He would. So, Pongo's done his homework. Pongo, he knows all about patience. Pongo, tell us what you've been learning about patience. He says he knows where we can find a lot of patience. Well, that's good, isn't it? It is. Where can we find a lot of patience? In a hospital. Oh, no, Pongo, that's the wrong kind of patience. It is, isn't it? We're talking about the kind of patience that we have to wait for something. Oh, it's in the Bible. It's mentioned in the Bible over 70 times. Oh, it's not funny. Pongo, it's not funny at all. Oh, he's so naughty, isn't he? I tell you what, let's try again, shall we? Shall we try again? Right. He heard me praying for patience last week. Yes. Yes. I said, please, Lord, would you give me patience? And give it me now. Oh, no. That's not such a good prayer, is it? No. No, it's not. Do you know what? Patience is a very difficult thing to understand. So, I've written down somewhere. Oh, here we are. This is what it means. It means, you can read, look. Trusting God and not getting cross when we want something to happen quickly that doesn't happen quickly. Oh, it's a bit difficult, isn't it? Trusting God and not getting cross when something we want to happen quickly doesn't happen quickly. So what might we want to happen quickly, do you think? Yes. Chocolate. That's a good one. And we have to wait. You don't like chocolate. Well, never mind. It's not about you. Yes. We have to wait for chocolate. What else might we have to wait for? Yes. Sausages. Yes, we have to wait for sausages. I wait every day for sausages. What else might we have to wait for, do you think? Yes. Lego. Yes, we have to wait to play sometimes, don't we? Yes, again. More chocolate. Nothing. Nothing. You have to wait for nothing. Sometimes we do. Yes, Christina. Christmas. That's a good one. We have to wait for Christmas, don't we? Yes, we have to wait for a long, long time for a goal in football, especially if it's England. A long, do you know they had 400 and something passes last night and only 4 shots on goal? That's patience, yes. Yes. Apples. Doesn't anybody feed these children? I tell you what. Oh, hang on. What's this? He has to wait for a walk. He has to go for a walk every day, but he has to wait. Oh, yes. One more. One more. Sweets, I know. Oh, isn't that lovely? Now, here's the thing, you see. Wanting things quickly is difficult. And God knows this. So God, he gives us a gift. So a bit like this. He gives us a gift of patience. It smells like a bone. It looks like a bone. Oh, he can't have it yet, can he? He's got to wait. Oh, no, look. Oh, no. He's not learned anything about patience, has he? Pongo, we all need patience. All the girls and boys and adults. So we're going to pray for this gift from the Holy Spirit of patience. He says he's happy to wait till after the service for his bone. Isn't that great? Well, thank you, Pongo, for that little lesson in patience. Now, he's going to have a little rest there now. He might not move, so don't worry. We have Matt Reed. Where's Matt? And his daughter Annika, because they had an almost amazing baptism last week. Matt, wasn't that great, the testimonies we heard from Matt and Jin and the rest? And James, wasn't that brilliant? Yeah. Yes, Ryan, yes. Thank you, thank you. So, don't be shy. She's going to come and say a little prayer, I think, for us. If I can find the microphone, yes. And after this, our young people are going to go out. But it's all right. You don't want to do it now? Oh, does Daddy want to read it for you? Yes, he does. He does. Do you want to stay there? If you turn round, then the camera will get you. There we go.
So this is a prayer that my daughter wanted to read, but I think the stage fright's got to her with all of the people. So I'll read it on her behalf, and it's from school. And it says, "Dear God, thank you for the waters of the earth, for the life-sustaining rains, lakes, and deep oceans. We know how precious they are. Help us to work together to protect water everywhere. Amen."
Amen.
And there's a second one as well. Sorry. Which is, "Lord, give me eyes to see the beauty around me. Give me ears to hear only what is true. Give me lips which speak kind words. Give me hands which always work hard. And give me a heart to be a loyal friend. In Jesus' name, amen."
Amen. Thank you, Annika. Thank you. Thank you, our children and young people and helpers, youth workers are leaving us now. So, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit might fall on our young people this morning as you give them, we pray, the gift of patience. As they go to their clubs, we pray your Spirit will open their hearts and minds to the gifts you have to offer us. And that's our prayer for us too this morning. Amen. So bless you, young people. Thank you for your help. Hope you get some food today. You always get food. Well, that's good. I'm pleased. Yeah, that's great.
Jane is going to lead us in our prayers, but we're going to use this short song, which we know very well, called "We Bow Down and Confess You Are Lord in This Place," as we bring our prayers before God. So could we have the words up on... Oh, it's on the PowerPoint, isn't it?
We bow down. God, in a broken world where we see persecution, famine and hardship, and the desecration of your beautiful planet, we pray for patience as you command the seasons and the times, Lord. Let your kingdom come here on earth. We pray, help us wait. In a world of conflict and battle, where nations and families are opposed to one another, we pray for patience. We pray for peace in Ukraine, in South Sudan, in Nigeria, and in so many places. We pray for righteousness to flow like rivers. You are sovereign, Lord. And so much as we long to see change, help us wait. In a world of immediacy, where we as a people desire opportunities, material goods, the next big thing, we pray for patience. Help us to see these things through your eyes. Help us to accept your timing, not our own. Help us wait. In our communities and families where we long to see dear ones turn to Christ, and we cry out for those we know who are struggling with ill health or anxiety, we pray for patience. Help us to be aware that you, Lord, command the times and the seasons, and all things are in your hands. Help us wait. And finally, from Revelation, Father, we pray for a new heaven and a new earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We bow down and confess you are Lord in this place. We bow down and confess you
We have two readings this morning, and the first reading can be found on page 1184. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And the second reading is on page 1220. One Peter, chapter 4, verse 12.
Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household, and it begins with us. What will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We come to the fourth fruit on the list from Galatians on the fruit of the Spirit. And if, like me, you found the talk so far on love, joy and peace pretty challenging, then I have to warn you that this week stretches us even further. And that's because to be patient is to be completely countercultural. So as we look at this topic together, let's pray, shall we? Lord God, we thank you that you are Lord, that you are God. And we ask that this morning you will show us something fresh that will really help us in becoming more Christ-like, that will help us in our walk of faith. Please bless us today that we might be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we've had some really good ideas so far, haven't we, on what it means to be patient. And my first thoughts on thinking about this was the wildlife photographer. Someone who has the patience to wait, not just for hours, but often for days, in cramped and uncomfortable spaces, in order to capture just the right photo at the right moment. Amazing. Most of us prefer a quick pic on our phone before moving swiftly on to another shot. But not the person who took this. All my thoughts turn to this man, Joe Root. I thought I'd expand the sporting interest at St. Andrews to encompass one or two newer items. And so Joe Root, his most recent test match last weekend at Lords, a first test match against New Zealand. He scored his 26th test century. He brought his total run score in test matches to 10,000, and he's only the 14th player in history ever to reach that score. But our interest in test cricket is pretty low these days. We tend to enjoy one-day matches, T20s, and the 100. It's all a reflection of our culture and the demand for immediate results. Test cricket, on the other hand, requires patience. It's the game of the long haul, played over several days, and growing your run total slowly and gradually. Now, we all have some natural gift of impatience. It might be small, It might be large. But we will all be on the natural patience continuum somewhere. It's part of being made in the image of God. And when it comes to growing as in Christ-likeness, we could all do with growing some more patience. So what is the patience of Galatians 5 all about? Well, the Greek word in Galatians 5:22 has been translated as forbearance. If you've got a church Bible out, you'll notice they don't say patience, they say forbearance. And it has a sense of bearing with others, especially through forgiveness. That's the way in which today's reading from Colossians describes it. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And in our other reading this morning, we had the idea of long-suffering. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Tom Wright uses the word great-heartedness, endeavouring to capture the idea that God has an expansive heart that offers people immense patience. And in fact, this is where we need to begin if we are to understand what patience is all about, with the patience of God. His forbearance with us is rooted in the very nature of who he is. The most important characteristic of patience is that it is part of the character of God. So I'd like you to cast your minds back to last autumn. In 2021, we had a series on what God says about himself entitled Encountering the Heart of God. We looked at how God describes himself. He said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. And we discover that one of the features of God's character is that he is slow to anger. That means that he practices forbearance. It's quite like, and I actually quite like this word forbearance rather than patience, to be honest, because it sounds a more active word. In everyday language, patience can mean sticking with things in a very boring way. So it just sounds very dull. You know, like, I need to be patient waiting for the bus to arrive, that sort of thing. But God is patient with us in the sense that he bears with us. He treats us lovingly. He's never one to lose his rag with us quickly. He has an extremely long fuse. And he's always been like this. In the New Testament, Peter reminds us of God's patience in the lead-up to the time of the great flood. And you might remember just before his crucifixion, Jesus praying over the city of Jerusalem in exasperation. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He was in despair, not anger. And still Jesus loves us. Still he seeks us out, continues to bear with us and to work with us, not wanting any of us to perish and all of us to come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus' lament wasn't only for the people of Jerusalem at that time. The heart of God had been broken for his people over and over again. For centuries before Jesus came, he'd been forbearing with his people. There are numerous examples in the prophets where we hear the voice of God pleading with his people. In Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, or Micah, for instance. The Holy Spirit has patiently continued to work, bringing hope and renewal. And of all the fruit that we've looked at so far, patience is the most countercultural. After all, what's in it for me? Joy and peace sounds far more attractive as far as I'm concerned. Patience sounds dull and hard work. But to be people of patience is exactly what God wants us to be. because it's the most godlike. Far from being boring, to be forbearing is to be a light on a hill. The more like Jesus we are, the more we shine, and the more we have the opportunity to show the glory of God to a world that wouldn't otherwise see him. People will notice, because it's not normally the way in which things are done round here. It's not the prevailing culture to be patient. So how can we grow in patience? Well, we heard a couple of weeks ago that God uses pruning to enable us to grow in the Spirit's fruit. And with patience, there are two main ways in which he grows this Christ-like quality in us. Circumstances and people. Some circumstances are beyond our control. This is Pentecost in the Nigerian province of Ondo. Gunmen attacked just a few weeks ago. Gunmen attacked and shot people worshipping in a Christian church. Initial estimates said that 50 people were taken to hospital and 20 people died. The attack in southwest Nigeria is significant because it's traditionally been in the north of the country that most of the persecution takes place. But this is in the southwest, not far from Lagos. The suffering of Christians around the world is increasing. And this is... seem to have got a picture missing. It's a bit strange. Sorry. It's gone. I did have... The photo's disappeared. How bizarre. I did have a photo of a church in Charleston, the USA. And there's sort of police ribbon around the front of it. It's easy to look up on the internet. It's Mother Emmanuel Church in Charleston in the USA. And you may remember a shooting that took place there in 2016, when a man came in and sat down looking as if he was joining in with the prayer and Bible study meeting, and then he drew a gun. And then he shot a number of people, including a young man who only moments earlier had tried to seek to reason with the gunman. This man's mother, called Felicia Sanders, was also at the meeting. She was so soaked in blood that the gunman thought she was already dead, and so he left her. Felicia made it onto the front of Time magazine because, as a mother's story, it had been a story of forgiveness. In the aftermath of the horror, Mrs. Sanders asked the FBI for one thing, the return of two Bibles. Covered in blood, they'd been part of the evidence. One Bible belonged to her and the other had belonged to her son. And when they were returned, they'd been cleaned up a bit, and they were now bright pink. But Felicia Sanders likes to read them. And she's an example of what we had in this morning's reading from 1 Peter 4:14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Pink from persecution, smeared in the blood of the saints, the Spirit of glory is resting on that lady in Charleston. Because it is in suffering that we learn to experience the forbearance that God shows towards the world. And the glory of God shines out of us. Now, not all suffering is as dramatic as that. Sometimes things just happen, especially in families. I used to have a brother. He died in his mid-50s, he's 2 years younger than me. He died in his mid-50s, but he suffered from mental illness pretty much from the time he left home to go to university. Praying and waiting for him to be healed, in vain it seemed to me for much of the time, I had to be patient. Either that or despair of God altogether. And yet, during all the time he was ill, I learned a lot about people living on the margins, in mental hospitals, or cared for in the community. I saw a lot of love and patience in the care of medical staff, and I learned more forbearance myself. I wouldn't have chosen all this, but the little choices that we make within a particular situation refine our character, and it taught me more about what really matters in life. Sometimes I straddle both anger and forbearance in equal measure, but it did teach me to pray in greater depth, even when there seemed to be no answer. And it's on that interface between the suffering we see now and the faith that we have in the God of the future, who will one day make all things right, that we come to know more deeply the love of God and the patience and forbearance of God. Which brings us to this, buyer's remorse. There comes a moment in everyone's calling when we're tempted to give up. I can't bear this anymore, we think. Anyone who commits himself in faith is bound at some point to end up here, in buyer's remorse. There'll be doubts about our front line, regret for where I've ended up, or the opportunities that we feel we've missed. Maybe even a sense of panic that we should have opted for a different way of life. This feeling of buyer's remorse is when patience is tested. It's at this moment that we're tempted to give up. And it's at this moment that if the fruit of patience is to grow in us, we need to persevere. We can be encouraged by those who've gone before. Take Abraham, for instance. God promises in him, as it says in Hebrews 6:14, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, says Hebrews 6, Abraham received what was promised. It says he waited patiently, and yet if you read the story of Abraham, you'll find that he most definitely indulges in a fit or two of buyer's remorse. To be fair, he does initially wait for years for a son to be born to him and his wife Sarah, but eventually the couple decide they've had enough. They twist God's promises by ensuring an heir through their servant Hagar. But this isn't God's choice. For God's plan to come to fruition, Abraham and Sarah have to wait and grow a bit more patience. They may have blips on the way, but interestingly, the New Testament not only commends Abraham for his faith, notice, because it says he waited patiently. Anyone with a calling from God is going to find it tested. Whatever it is, from motherhood to kingship to serving the teas. If you've had a patch of buyer's remorse, don't panic or give up. Talk to God about it and take it from there. After all, he is the God of enduring patience. Engaging with God on the interface between patience and struggle, we learn that it is in this place, where it itches and hurts, that God grows in us the fruit of patience. And we search after him some more. It's in the testing that patience is grown. So here's another test. FOMO, the fear of missing out. Having the patience needed to ask God about his plan for my life and to trust him to provide can sometimes seem beyond me. Forgetting about the front line of his choosing, I can rely on my own plans instead. Ensure I get myself all the things I think I need so I don't miss out. The well-paid job, a suitable spouse, a fine house, and so on and so on. The list is endless. And resisting FOMO is really countercultural. So often, we don't want to endure the struggle of waiting. But in abandoning the struggle, we forfeit the chance to become more like Jesus. We give up on allowing God to grow his fruit in us. Take Moses leading God's people through a desert season, literally, as they journey from slavery in Egypt to the blessing of the promised land. The Exodus wanderers that Moses was leading not only have buyer's remorse, moaning about the desert life they've been given in the present, and wasn't it so much better in the past when they were slaves in Egypt? They have short memories, these people. But they also have fears for the future. Where is this promised land? They doubt that God is really going to offer them anything better than the desert that they have now, despite all his promises to them. And Moses himself only manages to keep going because he takes the pain of the waiting to God in prayer. You'll find his struggle in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And there we find that Moses learns to have greater forbearance by observing and noticing the forbearance that God has towards these people. God, he finds, is the one who's more patient than anyone, waiting for his plans to come to fruition. And he is Moses' patience mentor. You know, there's great joy when after long periods of being patient, you come to see God bringing things into bloom. This photo won't mean very much to anyone but me here, because it shows a building site. And it's the new church rooms and offices at my sending church in the centre of Reading, the ones who supported me into going for training for ordination in 2002. And it's this photo I particularly want to show you. It's the new semicircle room on the west end of the church, facing a main street in the centre of the town. There did used to be a little semicircle there, room there. It wasn't as big as that one, but it just was a lounge with a meeting room and a place for children's groups on a Sunday. But it was 20 years ago, almost to this very day, it was give or take a couple of months, that I was on the very first PCC subgroup for this. The very first PCC subgroup. We thought about how the old coffee shop and bookshop that was stuck away from the main street behind the car park could be redeveloped. The aim was to see them outward facing instead to the local community. And it has taken 20 years and more PCC subgroups, but here it is. The new bookshop and coffee shop, which looks like it's only got one customer. The joy that I got this week when patience turns into sight is something that was years in the making. Slow growth. And yet the joy of 20 years of waiting is worth it. When we struggle with buyer's remorse or with FOMO, it's usually that we don't believe that God wants to be good to us. We find it hard to believe that he really does want us to be blessed, to be a blessing. That he prunes us and grows patience in us so that we might be more like him and show his character to the world. And we underrate the privilege of that calling. Now let's learn to cooperate with him more intentionally. Let's ask him, what's he doing round here? How is he working? What's he waiting for? And how am I becoming more like Jesus in the midst of all of this? How am I growing as a Christian? Let's be more expectant of some fruit. Abraham and Moses had to learn where the Spirit of God was at work. And you often hear them called heroes of faith, don't you? But in fact, they were humans, just as we are. Hebrews 12 describes them as being part of a great cloud of witnesses that surround us and urge us on in our faith. And in reality, the Bible has only one hero, and that is God himself. From the beginning to the end, he's the greatest hero of all because he loves us and bears with us as we seek to join in with the story that he's writing for the whole of creation and for each one of us within it. Because it is Jesus who is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Jesus is the source of our Christian hope. He is the one who gives us the patience to hope. And we find in Hebrews 12 that when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, only then will we, like him, not grow weary and lose heart. And we will see the fruit of God's Spirit growing in us. When Moses was in the wilderness, he was surrounded by people who grumbled. But in prayer, he learned to groan his troubles to God. And God grew him in forbearance with the people he was called to be with. The Apostle Paul learned the same. Romans 8 is a great passage on learning to wait. It's about how all of creation groans to see the Christian hope finally fulfilled. In Romans 8:18, Paul writes, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." So many things in this life leave a lot to be desired. We impatiently want to fix things, to sort things out in our way and time. Yet it's good to come and worship together, because that gets us back on track with God instead of our own agenda. And in coming to communion this morning, we're particularly reminded that God's way is not our way. That Christ suffered first before he entered into glory. That waiting on him, we get an eternal perspective. Communion reminds us, as it says in Romans 8, verse 31, God is for us. God is for us at this table. And that one day, it reminds us too of one day, we will sit around the banqueting table in heaven, where faith will give way to sight, and patient waiting will be over, and that all of us will be the church that God has patiently waited to bring to fruition. And what joy there will be at the end of that waiting, when the groaning is over and we see him face to face. Amen. Let's just take a few moments, shall we, just to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning about how we might grow in patience ourselves. Give us patience, Lord, we pray, for that day when we will see you face to face, when everything will be made right, and we will rejoice with you at the banqueting table in heaven. Amen.
We're going to sing a couple of songs now. The first one, Reckless Love, speaks of how God waits for us and pursues us recklessly. And so much about God's forbearance with us. And then we'll go on to another song, Is He Worthy? Which really speaks about how what Helen finished her talk with, and what will happen, and the joy that we'll have when we meet him face to face. But meanwhile, creation is groaning. Would you like to stand?
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadow? Come together around the Lord's table. You know, this is a sign to us of God's patience with us. It's a sign to us that he never gives up on us, that he's done everything to come and find us and meet us and draw us back. And not just that, but it's a nourishment on the journey. I was thinking of, you know, when you do a marathon and you're just desperate and you're thinking, I'm going to give up. You go and find that pit stop, don't you? And you get that energy drink and that keeps you going. So I want to say those of you who are here today who are struggling to keep going, who are struggling to keep praying when stuff is difficult, who perhaps are thinking actually of buyer's regret and chucking it all in. This is God's gift to you today, to come and be nourished again, to come and find hope, to come and find all you need to journey on. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night of betrayal at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And do sit or kneel as we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen.
Father God, you're my strength.
Lord God, bless us all this morning as we leave this place. Bless us, Holy Spirit, with the gift of patience. Patience for our family, our friends, though we meet in the coming week, and patience also with ourselves. Jesus, bless us with your close, ongoing, gentle, and everlasting presence, we pray. Amen. Please don't rush away. If you want prayer, there's a prayer team here willing and able to pray with you this morning. Otherwise, please, coffee, tea in the hall. Bless you. Have a great week. Thank you.
Thank you. Strong.